Welcome everyone to the deep dive. Super excited about today. We're looking closely at Christian grace. Now that might sound simple, maybe even familiar, but the sources we've gathered, they suggest that really getting grace, well, it changes everything. How you see failure, success, even just feeling tired day to day.
It really is. It's like a complete U-turn from how, you know, most systems work. If you look at belief systems around the world, there's often this idea that, well, you have to do the work. You climb the mountain, you earn favor, you reach up to God.
Right. The effort is on us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the core idea here from these materials is that Christianity flips that entirely. The message isn't, okay, do more, try harder to reach God.
Yeah.
It's more like, hang on, it's already done. God reached out to you.
That difference, that move from do to done, that's really what we want to dig into today, isn't it? Like, why is it different? And maybe more importantly, how does understanding grace actually practically change things for you listening? How does it affect your daily life?
Yeah, let's maybe start with an image from the sources. Picture a mountain,
mm-hmm.
and getting to the top, that's like achieving peace or acceptance, maybe spiritual security. The sources talk about two main paths people take up this mountain.
Okay.
Path number one is probably the one we think of first. Religious effort, you know, following all the rules, doing the rituals, ticking the moral boxes, trying really hard to qualify.
Right. Trying to earn it through religion. I can see how that gets exhausting. But the sources mention a second path, too, one that feels maybe more modern. It's about human effort, striving for success, self-improvement, being the best parent, doing good works to feel good about yourself or get, you know, society's approval.
Yes, exactly. And society applauds that path, right? Work hard, achieve.
So why do the sources say that path also leads to just exhaustion? It seems so different.
Well, that's the really interesting insight here. Whether you're driven by religious rules or by, say, cultural pressure to perform and succeed, the fuel is basically the same underneath. It's this belief that your worth, your value, comes from what you do, your output.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stop climbing, if you fail, if you don't meet the standard, whether it's God's standard or society's or even your own, you feel like you fall. You lose value. And modern life with social media, career ladders, it's all performance, isn't it? When you rely on that for your peace, you're always kind of running on fumes. Because true peace, that summit, it always feels just out of reach.
So two very different looking paths, religion and self-effort.
Yeah.
But they end up in the same place, tired, worn out.
Exactly. Both lead to this kind of spiritual and emotional burnout.
Yeah.
And here's the pivot point in the materials. Both paths, all that human striving, it converges at one specific place.
Which is?
The cross. That's where all the human effort, the religious kind, the self-improvement kind, all the exhaustion meets God's grace, meets what's already finished. The focus totally shifts. It's not what must I do anymore. It becomes about realizing, wow, look what Jesus already did. And the sources point to scripture for this, like 1 Timothy 2.5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." See, it puts the connection, the mediation, entirely on Christ, not on our trying.
Wow. Okay, that sets a powerful foundation. It's not about climbing. It's about receiving something already achieved at the cross. So let's try to make this concept of grace, this finished work, a bit more concrete. The sources use some really vivid metaphors. How do we grasp something so big? Let's start with the first one. Grace is the ocean.
Yeah, the ocean. I think they chose that because it pushes back against our need to control things. We often treat grace like, I don't know, a swimming pool where you can wade in, feel the bottom, control how deep you go, climb out easily.
Right, manageable.
But an ocean, it's immense, boundless. You can't earn it. You can't contain it in a bucket. You certainly can't see the end of it. All you can really do is stand there in awe and receive it. Let it wash over you.
Okay, boundless, vast. But what about when you mess up? And let's be honest, we all do. If you fail, make a big mistake, feel like you've let God down, doesn't that, like, shrink the ocean or push you out of it? How does that work?
That's where this metaphor gets really helpful, I think. The source material puts it like this. You don't move the ocean by rowing harder. Trying harder doesn't change the ocean's size or presence.
Okay.
You just rest. You let the current carry you. So when you fall, when you admit you're imperfect, when you screw up, even badly, you don't fall out of grace. The amazing thing about the ocean, this metaphor, is that when you fall, you actually fall deeper into it because it's bottomless. Your performance, good or bad, doesn't affect its existence or its depth. It's just there holding you.
Wow. Okay. Falling deeper into it, not out of it. That takes a huge weight off, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right,
so grace holds us. It's this vast ocean. What about action, doing good things? That leads us to the second image. Grace is the soil.
Right. The soil. This one helps us understand where good works fit in, why we do them. Imagine a big, healthy tree. Its life, its strength, comes from something you don't even see the roots deep down in good soil. That soil, that's God's love, His grace, sustaining it.
And the leaves, the fruit, the shade the tree provides.
That's the outward stuff we see. It's the natural result, the overflow of a tree that's well-rooted in good soil. It just happens because it's nourished.
So things like serving other people or being generous or helping out, these aren't like payments. They're not transactions to earn God's favor or buy back His approval after we mess up.
No, not at all. They're more like a thank you note, a thank you for the gift you've already received freely.
Ah, okay. The motivation is completely different.
Totally. If you're doing good deeds out of a sense of duty, trying to perform or earn points, it feels heavy, right? Like checking off a list.
Right.
But if the root is gratitude, just being thankful for the grace you're standing in, then the action becomes, well, joyful, lighter. It's a celebration.
Yeah, I get that.
And that joy, that's the real fruit. So even if, say, you help someone and they don't even notice, or you serve behind the scenes where nobody sees, the sources remind us, God sees. And that inner sense of gratitude, that connection, that's reward enough. It connects to that idea in John 15.5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. It's about remaining, abiding, not straining.
Okay. Grace holds us like the ocean. It grows us like the soil. It's the source, not the result, of good things. You know, if this is connecting with you listening, if you're feeling tired of all the striving and this idea of resting in something finished, growing naturally, it sounds appealing. We really want to encourage you, don't try to figure this out alone. Explore it with others. Growth happens best in community.
Absolutely. Finding a place, a community, where grace isn't just talked about, but actually lived out, celebrated, that's so important. It helps these ideas move from your head to your heart to your actual life. It's where you practice resting together.
You could, for instance, visit PWC. That's Pittsford Wesleyan Church. Seriously, we'd love for you to join us, find that community, and experience the peace that comes from living in this truth.
Because we've talked about grace being vast, grace being the source of growth. But it's not just passive, is it? It's got power, energy. Which brings us to our third metaphor. Grace is the fire.
The fire. Yeah, this feels different, more active. It speaks to that internal change, right? A transformation. Grace is this fire inside your heart that changes you deep down, and then it kind of shines out.
Exactly. It's the power behind those really hard countercultural choices.
Like forgiveness. When someone's really hurt you and everything in you wants to fight back or get even, but you choose to forgive instead, that takes something else.
It really does. Or choosing to love someone who seems, frankly, undeserving. Showing peace when you could choose revenge. That requires a power source way beyond just willpower or self-help techniques. That fire, that's God's grace doing the heavy lifting inside. Burning away the old stuff, the resentment, the need to be right, and replacing it with the capacity for something new, peace, love.
And the idea is the light people see, it's not really our light, is it?
No, that's key. The sources are clear. It's God's flame. You're just the lamp holding it. Which, by the way, keeps us humble. It prevents that kind of self-righteousness that can creep in when we focus on our good deeds.
Right. So the goal isn't to make ourselves look good.
Not at all. The light is meant to point people back to the source of the heat, the source of the transformation. That's why Matthew 5.10 says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The good deed points away from you, towards God.
Ocean, soil, fire, holding us, growing us, changing us. Okay, what's next? How does this play out day to day in the rhythm of life? This brings us to the last metaphor. Grace is the dance.
The dance. I like this one because it brings in partnership. It counters any idea that we're just, you know, passive logs floating on the ocean of grace. In this dance, God leads. You follow. The pressure isn't on you to know all the steps or choreograph your whole life.
That's not about perfection.
Definitely not. It's about trust. Trusting the rhythm, trusting the partner who's leading, who's holding you.
Okay, but following can sometimes sound a bit passive, like you don't have real input or choice. How does the dance metaphor address that? Is it just being moved around?
Well, think about a real dance.
Yeah.
It requires both partners to be engaged, right? There's consent, responsiveness, moving with the music, with the lead. It's active following, not robotic obedience. And it emphasizes the process, the relationship, the movement together.
And what happens when you inevitably mess up the steps?
Oh, you will. You'll stumble, miss a cue, step on God's toes, feel totally clumsy sometimes.
Right.
We all do. But grace means the partner never lets go, never drops you. The relationship isn't broken because you weren't perfect. It becomes this continuous process of learning the rhythm, staying close. Galatians 5.25 puts it as, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." It's about staying in sync moment by moment.
Okay, so bringing all four together, the ocean holding us, the soil growing us, the fire changing us, the dance guiding us. What's the big takeaway for someone listening, maybe facing another Monday morning, feeling that pressure? It sounds like it boils down to letting go of that constant need to perform, to prove yourself. And instead, what?
Right.
Choosing to just live loved.
That's a great way to put it. Just live loved. And we could make that even clearer by contrasting the old way, the performance way. Let's call it the religion says mindset with grace says mindset. The sources lay out some really practical differences in key life situations. This is where it gets really tangible.
Yeah, let's walk through that contrast, because that difference between pressure and peace is huge.
Okay, first situation. When you fail, you blow it, you fall short. Religion, or that performance mindset, says, try harder, do more, feel guilty, pay for it somehow.
Right. More effort.
But grace says, you're forgiven. The debt's paid. Get up. Keep going. You're still held.
Okay. What about the flip side? When you succeed, you nail the presentation, you achieve the goal.
Religion performance says, yes, you did it. Take the credit. Feel proud. Which is often temporary anyway. Grace says, wow, look what God did through you. Point the glory back to the fire, the source.
Keeps it focused outward. What about when you're tired, just worn out by life?
Religion performance says, push through. Don't be weak. Your effort proves your commitment. Grace says, come here. Rest in me. Your identity isn't based on your energy level or your output today. It's secure.
That sounds incredibly relieving. Okay, last one, a tough one. When someone hurts you deeply, unfairly.
Yeah. Religion, or just our human instinct, often says, get even, protect yourself, make them pay. Grace says, forgive. Forgive. Because you yourself have been forgiven an infinitely bigger debt. Remember the ocean. Remember the cross. That enables forgiveness.
Wow. Okay. That comparison really clarifies it. It's a fundamental shift in perspective across the board.
It really is. Grace essentially lifts that crushing weight of, I have to perform. I have to measure up. Whether that pressure comes from society, religion, or ourselves right off your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it replace it with? Peace. A deep, lasting peace in your soul. It allows you, as you said, to just live loved.
From striving constantly to just receiving continuously. That really could change everything. As we wrap up this deep dive, maybe just take a second, wherever you are, just to breathe that in. The freedom we've been talking about. I'd like to lead us in a simple prayer drawn right from the materials we looked at. Just let these words wash over you. Soft tone. God, thank you for doing what I never could. Thank you for grace that carries me like the ocean, grows me like the soil, fills me like the fire, and leads me in the dance. Teach me to rest in what's already done and live out that love every day. Amen.
Amen. And if this conversation resonated, if you feel that exhaustion of trying so hard, maybe think about sharing this deep dive. Share it with someone you know who's tired. Tired of striving, tired of trying to earn acceptance. Because this message that grace is about receiving, not earning, it's good news everyone needs to hear.
Absolutely. Keep walking in that grace this week and hold on to that core message. With Jesus, it's not due, it's done. Thank you so much for listening to the PWC podcast. We hope you'll join us this Sunday at 11 a.m.